Hello and welcome to a new episode of Pod and Beyond, a podcast where we talk about software development and anything beyond that. Yes, it's a long time since we did the last episode, but everything is fine. We are finally back on track with a bunch of new ideas. That was just a summer break for both of us. By the way, speaking of breaks, today we are going to talk about what we like to do after work to relax and recharge our batteries. Everything what works for us and why. So for everyone who just joined or discovered our show, I have to mention that both of us are software engineers. So our work is making software, designing it, and having fun every day, literally. My name is Alex, and as usual, I am joined by my good friend Pablo. So Pablo, you are the first on the list. So tell us, what do you do after work to recharge?
So yeah, hello. I do a lot of stuff after work. So I have a lot of hobbies, but I think all of them have one thing in common, that they are complex enough that they block my brain to keep thinking about work. So I think that's one of the common pattern that I can find in my hobbies or things that I do when I'm not in front of the computer trying to produce some code. For example, I have a dog. We got a dog like some time ago, like 5 years ago. He was not an easy dog. Because of that, I got into dog training and I started to learn about how to train a dog, how to teach him to behave around the house. And I got really interested into this world, and I went deeper and deeper. And at some point, I started to do agility with my dog. Agility is this sport that is about jumping obstacles and running with your dog. Now, the dog is a bit older, so I was looking for an activity that was a bit more relaxed for him and also for me. I'm also older. And we found mantrailing. Mantrailing is about searching for people in the woods, in the forest. I think that's my main activity now after work. And as I mentioned before, it's one activity that is demanding physically because you are following your dog. And dogs usually tend to walk much faster than humans. And you have to go after him because you have to keep him motivated to follow the track and find the person. And it's also mentally demanding because you have to pay a lot of attention to different signals in the earth. For example, you can search for steps that tells you that you are in the right track, and then you can help the dog. You have to be aware of the environment. You have to check if your dog is tired or not. You have to really pay attention to the dog to see if the dog is still on track or if he's lost. So you have to really pay attention to his body language, things like that. So yeah, you have to be really focused. Yeah, you are not able to think about anything else, which is a really good way to disconnect from your day-to-day work.
It is also mentally demanding for dog as well, so it's not for...
Yeah, for the dog is super mentally demanding because they have tons of smells coming and they have to focus in just one, the one that you give him. So it's physically and mentally demanding for dogs, which is super nice because after that, they go to sleep like babies.
But how do you know that the dog is off track? You don't know where the man is hidden, right? Where the target is.
You have no idea. Yeah, you have no idea. So yeah, it's their body language. So if they are on track, they usually go, nose is down and the tail is wagging, and you have the leash on your hands. So you can feel the tension also. So if he's on track, tension is high, dog is focused, nose is down, tail is wagging high. Well, every dog is slightly different. So you need to learn to read your own dog. That's part of the job. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how I read my dog. So he's usually like that. And if he's hesitant, so he loses tension, trying to smell the air and trying to get hints from another places when he's not sure. His tail is not so happy anymore. It goes slightly down. And if he's totally lost, he tends to stop and maybe look at me. So he loses focus, and you know that he's lost. So you have to either take him to the place where you were super sure that he was on track and start from there again, or maybe you're lost and you have to cancel the search.
Mm-hmm. this activity in general, does it also help with the bonding with your dog, or the bonding should be already there in order to even start doing this mentoring activity?
For this specific sport, bonding is not super important because you want them to be independent to make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, you wanted to search for people, not to pay attention to you. You don't want them to be waiting for you to give them cues on how mm-hmm. to find the person. It's like they are the experts in this thing. We don't smell, right? we are like blind in this yeah. scenario. So you really have to trust your dog by reading him, and he's the one guiding in this sport. So he needs to be an independent dog.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason why when you transition for something like agility, like I did, where it's the other way around, you need a lot of bonding and he needs to pay a lot of attention to you because you are the one telling him like jump or go mm-hmm. in the tunnel or whatever. He needs to pay a lot of attention to you. So when you transition from one sport like that to mantrailing, you need some work to make the dog a bit less attached to you.
Mm-hmm.
There is some bonding because he's working with you. You're going to feed him at the very end and mm-hmm. so on. So there are some bonding, but it's not one of those sports that require tons of bonding.
But then it's a different kind of bonding, right? It's not that there is like a owner and the dog. It's like a team bonding because you work as a true team, like as a pack, basically, right?
Yeah, yeah. You are the guide and he's the lead.
Mm-hmm.
It's a teamwork. He's the one that has control because he is the one that has the nose and he can follow the track, but you're also paying attention to cues and trying to help him. Mm-hmm. Like I mentioned before, if he gets lost, you're the one that is going to take him to the previous point. So you're recording,
mm-hmm.
kind of recording. Okay, I'm pretty sure that in this point we are on track. I need mm-hmm. to remember this tree here mm-hmm. because if we get lost, I know I can come back to this tree and start again. So it is a teamwork, yeah.
I don't know. From what you describe, it's mind-blowing somehow to me. Like
it is.
This type of work, it's, I don't know, incredible connection of some sort.
Yeah, yeah. And we are kind of starting. We haven't been doing this for long. But when you see like professional dogs, it's mind-blowing. The distance that they can cover following a track and the amount of hours that the track was already in there and was crossed by animals, other humans, mm-hmm. and they stick to the track that they have to search. Yeah, it's a really nice sport. Plus, you're in the nature and you do some sport, which is also nice.
Do you do it just for sport? Would you also volunteer to go for like actual rescue activities, or it's just for fun?
Well, to have a dog that is ready to do like real work, yeah, he has to be like top level. We are far, far from that. So we couldn't help in any real situation.
Okay.
I do it mainly for fun. I really like to spend time with the dog and do training. Before, as I mentioned, before mantrailing, we did agility and we also did some obedience. And I like to work with the dog and train with the dog in general. To me, it's yeah, a lot of fun and a way to disconnect from work and other responsibilities.
How does it affect your work? Like, do you feel recharged? Because I could imagine that you're super tired after this kind of activities, right? When you have to run around in the forest.
But it's a different type of tiredness, right? So when I'm tired from work, I'm mentally tired, usually.
Mm-hmm.
Tired from doing the same task again and again, things like that. So and then you change the activity. It's totally different. You are not in a room anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You are in the nature, which is super important for me. Most of my hobbies are outdoor,
mm-hmm.
either sports or activities. That's the switch to me. Like going outside and doing mm-hmm. things out in there in the field is like yeah, a total different mindset. Yeah, after a day working as a developer, your body is rested. You have been in front of the computer for 8 hours.
At least.
Yeah. You're ready to run. That's not an issue.
And how do you feel next day? Do you feel like super energized to do software work?
Yeah, for sure. It's like you have to be fit enough so you don't have a lot of muscle pain next day or anything like that. But it's not crazy demanding for humans. You need to be able to hike kind of high speed for kilometers, 2 kilometers, 3 kilometers. So it's not super demanding.
Okay. It requires special equipment, at least a dog, right?
Yeah, you need a dog, you need the space, you need a forest.
Yeah, and the dog should
And
be
you need
trained.
More people because you need someone to do the runner or,
yeah,
or
right.
hiding.
You need at least someone,
yeah,
one more person. Yeah, sounds like fun. In my case, it's a switch of activity, right? Like the relaxing part comes from switching to another activity, which is very different to what you do for 8 hours just sitting in front of a screen.
Yeah.
So in my case, I do I switch activity from one software development to another one, and it somehow works. I practice this for years, not every day, of course, so I cannot do this on everyday basis.
Mm-hmm.
But from time to time, especially when I have an idea that burns in my mind, that's something that I would like to implement, I switch like after work, and there's a break for dinner or something, then I could sit and work on something else, on another project, but it's still software. And the reason why, it's because this is also a switch of activity, but it's another type of software development, because on any side project, I have freedom, right? I could do anything I want. I could work on any field. I could apply any crazy ideas. I could try things and then like derive some knowledge, some experience. The recent project what I'm working on right now is called Q, as the Star Trek character, the Q.
not geeky at all.
Yeah, no. not even 0.5%. Yes. The project is interesting because it has front-end and back-end part, and I could train my JavaScript skills and my Go skills, and the Go is not the main language for me at work, so I could practice, but I really like the language, and this is the field where I could experiment, but also play with some tools. And what I also discovered recently, that working on side projects also helps me to create this like a tool set. I could try different tools, for example, to test your software, right? There are a bunch of frameworks for basically every programming language. You have at least 2, 3, 4, but they are slightly different. They do the same stuff. They test your code, but they do differently, so they have different approaches. When you work on side project, you could literally try each and one of them and then decide which works for you the best, and also decide why it works the best for you.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I like working on side projects. It's like a nice playground, and it's still some kind of mental switch to another software development activity in the end.
I see. It's interesting, because for me it doesn't work like that, because I realize that for me, in order to be able to disconnect, I need to do something physically. So even reading a book that is not related at all with the software development,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't really work as a disconnection for me. I need to do something with my body, move around or practice mm-hmm. some sports. Yeah, I mentioned that mantrailing probably is one of my main, it is my main hobby these days. But during the winter, for example, is snowboard.
Mm-hmm.
I also climb, and I tend to go to the gym. So all of my activities outside work are related with some sports or outdoors activity or something like that. So I don't know why, probably, yeah, every single person is different. But for me, in order to be able to properly disconnect, I need to do something with my muscles.
That's really interesting. Yeah, we're totally different in this case. You gain this additional energy while doing some activities, like a physical activities.
Yeah.
In my case, this recharging is happening when I'm excited about what I'm doing. I feel inspired, and this is where I get energy. So it could be anything. Software development is just one of these examples.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I could gain more energy by writing software.
for me, it's not like that, because I also try in the past like other projects that are not related with software development. Playing guitar, for example. Back in the days, I used to play guitar, and I was studying playing guitar, and I was doing it after work. So it wasn't like a disconnection. It was like another thing that went into my brain and I need to study and be focused and so on. So it didn't count as a disconnection at some point. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. It has to be some kind of movement involved.
Okay. What else do you do as an activity that actually gives you more energy?
These days, I'm also into not farming, but we have a field here. I really like to go outside and take care of the trees, take care of the grass, chop the wood, prepare the wood for the winter. So those kind of activities are also a lot of fun for me and a really nice way of disconnect from work and mental activities. So as you can see, again, it's like physical activities.
Yeah, working on the field, it could be energy demanding, right? I don't know, the physical energy, I mean. In a way, it's a work which you do like a lot of repetitive work, right? When you chop wood, for example, you could kind of disconnect your brain or you don't use it a lot. This helps to relax, right? This is just routine activity of some sort.
Yeah, but you still have to be focused enough to not chop one of your legs, for example.
Yeah. You don't disconnect 100%.
Yeah.
This could be dangerous. But I mean this, the routine work, you just repeat the same movements for a long time and this helps to relax.
Yeah.
I also discovered this for myself as well.
Mm-hmm.
Apartment cleaning, it's also like routine work and you feel tired in the end, but you're physically tired, not mentally.
Yeah.
And mentally, you kind of recharged. That's interesting stuff. And when I was thinking about this, like what is the effect of this? Why I'm recharging mentally while cleaning my apartment? I don't know. My guess is that because of this routine work, it does not require that much of my brain attention to what I'm doing. I'm still I'm not totally disconnected from the world.
Yeah, but probably for the brain, it's super easy. It's a super easy task, so it's not an effort.
Yeah,
it can rest. I don't know. It's like when you're running, and then for the last 10 minutes, you just walk. So you're like actively resting, right?
Yeah. Have you ever felt that after this kind of activity, when you do routine work, it's hard to focus then for some time?
To me, it's hard to refocus. So it's like I entered that kind of lazy mode that is like, no, I'm not sure if I want to go back. Like, I'm fine with this easy mode, not thinking. So yeah, so to me, it's tricky to restart. Once I start, not a problem anymore. If I manage to go back to my task for more than 2-3 minutes, that's it. I'm focused again and ready to go. Yeah, the restart point is tricky to me. It also happens to me with the meetings. So if I have a long meeting, then going back to code, it requires an kind of an effort. How is it for you?
Kind of the same. Yeah. I don't know why, but after meetings especially, I feel really discharged. What do you grow on your field?
We have mainly trees. I don't want to grow tomatoes or potatoes or anything like that because it's a lot of work and you have to pay attention and it's a bit more work than trees. So I just plant trees and take care of them that are much easier than lettuce, tomatoes, and that kind of stuff.
Okay. So as I mentioned, in my case, yes, I do software development to relax after software development, but it's not all the time. I don't want to look like like this person. Replaces work with another work. I do also some physical activities. And one of them is, I don't know, handcrafting.
Mm-hmm.
Like some time ago, I was interested in, I don't know how to describe it. I was using concrete and making some, not sculptures, but nice looking objects. I was lazy enough not to do something super, super complex. But because of this laziness, you have to be creative, right? This
right.
Creativity helps a lot. It's a special type of concrete.
Mm-hmm.
This concrete powder is really fine. And you don't need anything besides this powder and water. That's it. You just mix it in proportions that required, and that's it. Then you have concrete and you pour it into some form and that's it. So what I liked a lot is that you just take a plastic bag. I was using this IKEA ones with the zipper. Pour, I think, half of it or something like this with concrete. Zip it. And then you put something on top. You just press it so it has a nice shape. It looks like a pillow. And then when concrete is hard, after a couple hours, you remove this plastic bag, mm-hmm. and you have still the same shape.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks so nice. It's like a frozen pillow. And it was easy, but somehow so relaxing. And in the end, you have this physical object that you could touch, you could put on your desk, and just enjoy looking at it from time to time. I love this kind of things. Yeah, this kind of arts and crafts activities I do from time to time. And I know for sure that this helps me to get my energy back after hard work day.
It sounds similar to gardening or working in the field, right? It's like, yeah, you do something, yeah, with your hands, and in the end you have results that you can be, or not, proud of.
Yeah, it's not always you could be proud.
Yeah.
But you could learn from these results anyway.
I have one question for you. So when you're trying to acquire a new skill related to work, for example, learn a new programming language, mm-hmm. do you put that on your hobbies, time, or free time, or you count it as work, even if it's study?
Well, it depends. If I know that I need this language or framework mm-hmm. next week or something, yeah. or for the upcoming project, then it's a part of my work cycle, right? So I will spend my work time to learn, to play, and to try.
Yeah, it's part of the job. Yeah, I agree. And how about the skills that you could, do you think of them as an investment? That's how I think. And I usually try to think on new skills that are related to work. So I'm going to invest in this language, in this framework, in this ability, mm-hmm. because I think it will pay off in 1 year or whatever. It's like an investment in my skills. Because to me, that's, I count them as work. It's part of my mm-hmm. life as a software developer, is acquiring new skills mm-hmm. or refresh the skills. So the slots I use to, the time slots that I use to practice, I don't consider them as free time or anything like that. It's like, to me, it's work, and they have their slot, and that's it. How is it for you?
So this is tricky, but I know the answer. Because I was thinking about this some time ago, I don't know, maybe when I just started as a software developer, and yes, I was doing side projects to practice, to gain new skills, yeah. and that was investment. I was working after work to get better work next time. Now it's a little bit different. When I work on side projects, it's the example that I have in my head, if I would be a painter, while working on the side projects, I could... For example, as a painter, I would repeat the same movement to get ideal picture that I would like to have, mm-hmm. right? You know, I don't know, ideal stroke. And I could repeat it 1,000 times until I say, okay, this is what I like. So in my side projects, I use them partially also as this empty canvas. Yeah. And I could obsessively write code and rewrite it multiple times. For example, I need a class, which I know what this class needs to do. But I would like to write this code in a way that it looks ideal, that it's clean and clear. It's easy to test.
Yeah.
In my case, I cannot do it like in one shot. I have to practice. Yeah. I have to play with naming that it's clean, like the number of parameters and so on.
Yeah. Even trying different approaches.
I don't know. It's more like this. Mm-hmm. It's like creative writing, but you write not prose, but you write code in this case.
But that for you is work, right? You consider it work, or you consider it like...
Yeah, in the end, as a side effect of it, yes, next time when I would have similar situation, when I have to write similar code, mm-hmm. I don't, like at work, I don't have to spend time thinking because I spent already a couple hours thinking about this. But when I do this as a exercise after work, mm-hmm. it works sometimes as relaxation because I try to express my thoughts in terms of code in this case, but it's more like painting a picture.
Yeah, that's right. It's difficult to draw a line, because now I'm also remembering times when I used to go to meetups and practice code katas, for example, with colleagues, mm-hmm. and that was relaxing. It didn't feel like work at all.
Yeah, it's just you express yourself, right? You express what is in on your mind.
Yeah, no pressure, not clear target or
Yeah. You could stop at any point, right? Okay, I feel relaxed or super tired. Yeah. So that's it for today.
Yeah.
So that would be my answer.
Yeah, I think I agree. It's a mix of both things.
So to summarize, we mentioned today men trailing some arts and craftsy activities after work, writing software after writing software, working on the field. So these are very different activities, but I think they all have one thing in common, that it's a switch. It's a mental switch. Sometimes it's a physical switch to what you usually do as a software developer in our case. This switch helps you to recharge your batteries, to get more energy, and to be happy next day. Everyone has to pick what they like, what works for you, doesn't work for me, and other way around. Just be open, try things, and then eventually you will find something that works for you as this charger of some sort.
Or maybe you find too many things like me, and then you have to pick one.
Well, it's better to have some choice. And then you could pick depending on the weather, on your mood.
Yep.
So that's it for today. Thank you for listening. In case of any questions, as usual, send us an email at cottonbeyond@protonmail.com. You will find also this address in the show notes, as usual, as well. If you're listening to the show on Spotify, please don't forget to leave us a rating. Keep being amazing. Bye.
Bye.